and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the Iowa State Fair, President Trump touted the passage of his tax and spending bill.
We've saved our country. We've got the hottest country anywhere in the world, as said by many, many leaders of other countries.
This woman, though, is concerned about the Medicaid cuts that she says will impact her cousin.
I'm concerned about her not having the medical care that she needs, that there are so many people. How do we know who gets cut?
Protests are happening across the country today against the Trump agenda. The holiday means a lot of you are traveling, and it's busy. CBS's Dave Malkoff's at the airport in Atlanta, where 4 million people are expected to go through this weekend.
United says they expect to fly 560,000 people every single day of the 4th of July travel period. That's something like 3 takeoffs per minute.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab, and though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers face the Marlins tonight at Lone Depot Park. Last night, the Brewers lost by just a run, 3-2 to the Mets. Jose Quintana taking the loss against his former team by giving up a single to Juan Soto that gave the Mets the lead. How disappointing was this loss? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I'm always disappointed when we lose, and especially when it comes down to inches here or there, or comes down to pitches, or comes down to, a close call. Or whatever. I mean, it seems like, sometimes you got to just win by more than that.
What do you think of Quintana overall?
I thought he was great. He was great. It's the best outing I've seen him have probably since I was on the other side of the field.
Basketball. At least 3 NBA teams showing interest in Damian Lillard after being released by the Bucks and becoming a free agent. CBS Sports says the Celtics, Lakers, and Golden State Warriors all interested in Lillard when he recovers from that torn Achilles tendon. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially this morning. We'll get to around 90 for a high. The heat index in the mid to upper 90s. Tonight we'll drop to the low 70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other about what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special Independence Day edition of the show featuring some of our tours around what makes Wisconsin great and free brewer tickets to give away. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pre-recorded content.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back, Up North, 8:06 on this holiday edition, the best of Mornings, powered by Up North News. Not really live from Lake Wissota. Don't tell the bosses they are. They're very worried about all of this becoming automated and impersonal, and at that rate, why not have AI do the show? Though when you think about it, a lot of the intelligence you hear from some folks appears to be artificial these days, so why not have artificial intelligence take a stab at my job, right? I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, if they're listening. Anyway, coming up, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area with a conversation about Wisconsin values. But first, it's Friday, so it's Free Ticket Friday, where Civic Media, in a statewide contest, has 4 tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers next Friday against the Washington Nationals if you are the winner this Friday. Here's what you do. Get that Civic Media app. I know by now you have downloaded this. This has got to be old hat by now, right? And you just pop up one of the radio stations, and you use the text feature to send a text message. But the text message you're going to send is just a single word, a keyword, and this word is good until the end of the show, until 9 o'clock. And in this statewide contest, one entrant will be pulled, and they will win 4 tickets to next Friday's Milwaukee Brewers game at American Family Field. Okay, enough buildup. What's the word, Pat? Here's the word. Holiday. Holiday. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Like the Independence Day holiday that we are experiencing. Text holiday through the Civic Media app. You are in the running for Milwaukee Brewers tickets as part of our Free Ticket Friday. Okay, before Dan Schaefer, let's talk POCUS. You see, I was contemplating a trip to Summerfest this weekend. I'll let you know Monday if I made it down there or not. But this past Monday, when we visited with John and Gordy from our Civic Media Madison station, we got to talking about a local polka show, a polka band, and it reminded me of a polka milestone from my own wedding with Sherry 39 years ago tomorrow. If there's one other act I have to go find someplace, it's somebody named Tuba Dan?
Tuba Dan.
This is a radio show.
Oh, okay.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. On what's the station, John? This is the Rippin station.
RPN. Okay.
Yes.
RPN. Yeah. And he's on the weekend, I believe. Wait.
Yeah. Every
7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes.
And he plays, obviously, he loves tuba. So every polka song has a tuba in it. Not all of them do. But on his show, he's found them all.
It's a great show. Yeah. I got to say. I you know. Not a big fan of polkas, but the show is really wonderful. Yeah. And he's got a sidekick, Corky, and Tuba Dan. Yep. And Corky. They explore the world of polka music in Wisconsin, and it's just excellent. It really is.
Of all the things that show off our age, my age, is that now Sherry and I were about to this week have our 39th anniversary. So when we got married in 1986, that is still our reception is still the last reception that we went to with a polka band, not a band that played polka music. It was all polkas all night,
all the time.
Yeah. When we grew up, that was not out of the ordinary. Is that a wedding reception, especially in the Manitowoc area or, out in Minnesota where I'm from. But since that time, polka bands at a wedding reception, I've never been to one after ours. Let's check out some polling. And I know I've mentioned a few times, I'm not a big polling fan when it comes to election time. That horse race stuff. I'd rather get into what do the candidates, stand for, what do they say and all that. This is more about positions. Both the Marquette Law School poll and Quinnipiac University have done some polling on various issues that are out there. Now, I do know that there's been talk about the 55% of respondents who say they don't want Governor Tony Evers to run for a third term. But again, that's quite split by party. Among Democrats, 83% think he should run for a third term. And frankly, Scott Walker had less Republican support for a third term back in 2018. Now, 2/3 of voters in the survey said marijuana should be made legal in Wisconsin. That support typically has hovered in the mid 60% range. There's also support for a good sized tax cut in the budget. Although I think this is interesting. We usually talk about Wisconsin being divided in half, right and left. What to do with the surplus is your classic, we're divided evenly into thirds. I mean, seriously, like about 1/3 each want to do one of three different things. 1/3 want nearly all of it returned through tax cuts. Another 1/3, probably on the Democratic side, wanted very little in tax cuts, put it into schools and roads and things like that. And then about 1/3 of them wanted half and half. So there you go with a $4 billion surplus. Again, there's ways to get a win-win out of this. The Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting today in a marathon session. And then it sounds like one house, maybe the Assembly, will try to pass the budget on Monday and the Senate on Tuesday, something like that. Why are they suddenly passing it? Why are they suddenly interested? Because of that Supreme Court decision the other day that says Republicans can really micromanage some of the money. They can create a slush fund in the Joint Finance Committee to hide some of the money. So Republicans are now in a hurry, based on that court decision, to pass a budget up to the way that they want it. And then the pressure goes on Governor Evers to either go along with it because there was enough compromise or to veto the whole thing if he can't fix it with partial vetoes. And, my guess is that if he vetoes the whole thing, Republicans won't start over. They'll say, fine, we just won't have a new budget at all. The old budget will carry over, which I think has some political risks in it. But that's Wisconsin politics for you. There is bipartisan interest in allowing citizens to bring forward ballot questions if you collect enough signatures on petitions. About half the states have that, but Wisconsin is not one of them, where you can have a citizen-led statewide referendum. 2/3 support postpartum Medicaid expansion. Again, 2 out of 3 people support expanding postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to a full year. Wisconsin is now one of only 2 states that doesn't do that. Nearly 90% of people surveyed by the Marquette poll support banning cell phones in classrooms. I can't believe that we're even still talking about this, but yes, we are. Meanwhile, over in the Quinnipiac poll, there has been a real swing of public opinion when it comes to undocumented immigrants. About 6 months ago, about 55% of voters said they supported giving most undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status. That has now shot up to nearly 2/3 of voters support giving undocumented immigrants a pathway to legal status as opposed to just deportation. In other words, Americans have seen what the Trump administration is doing with secret police and raiding on people who have not violated the law at all. and who are playing a role in society. And this is what they think of it. Trump's approval numbers are down as a result as well. But here's the one that really gets me the most. Given a list of 9 issues and asked which is the most urgent one facing the country today, the number one issue right now is preserving democracy in the United States. Now, all throughout last year, Democrats tried to say that, and they were constantly told people do not care about democracy. They care about inflation. They care about healthcare. Don't talk about preserving democracy. It's a non-starter. Now, all of a sudden, people are interested in preserving democracy. In other words, we told you so. We told you that this was coming, that this is the clear and present danger that Donald Trump is posing and continues to prove it every single day. I'm glad Americans are now paying attention and concerned about it. Wish it had been this way last year. I do like the way that Dan Schaefer framed the new Marquette poll, because it talked about a lot of different issues. Now, again, it's not election time, so this wasn't any kind of candidate polling or anything like that. It was just about various issues, some that the legislature is considering right now, some things that are before Congress. There are things like, you know, Medicaid expansion for new moms and things like that. And here's how Dan Schaefer put it. In a deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? Again, here's the question. In this deeply polarized 50-50 state, which issues do more than 65% of Wisconsin voters agree on? And his answer, it's almost all that are policies that are backed by Democrats, such as Medicaid for new moms. 66% favor legislation that would extend coverage for Medicaid for new moms to a full year after giving birth. There's marijuana legalization. 67% say marijuana should be legalized, including, by the way, 44% of Republicans and 79% of independents. And then there's increased special education funding. 71% of voters say they would favor a major increase in state aid for special education funding for public schools. There's mental health services in schools. 75% of voters favor a proposal to provide comprehensive mental health services in schools statewide. To this point, Republicans in the legislature not only did not go along with Governor Evers' proposed increase, but have proposed decreases in mental health services. Allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, 77% of voters say Wisconsin should adopt a citizen's initiative to put issues on the ballot. So again, on all of the top issues, when you look just at issues, not candidates, not party labels, anything like that, you see where folks are. It's just a matter of trying to remind them who is on their side on the ballot when it comes to these issues. All right, let's take care of some housekeeping. On the Courier Newsroom side, Courier being the parent company of Up North News, of course I'm going to talk about our newsletters, and you can subscribe to them by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up there in the top banner. However, from our parent company, there are other newsletters and other podcasts that I'd love to have you become a subscriber to. Let's talk, for example, about a weekly newsletter called American Freak Show by Nina Burley that keeps an eye on MAGA extremism and its absurdity. And this week, the Great Mamdani Freakout. You see, it didn't take long after the New York City mayoral primary for this famous hedge fund guy to write that he is, quote, gravely concerned about the city. And he would basically pull an Elon Musk for the left and support someone other than the Democratic nominee, Zoran Mamdani. Well, Nina Burley asks in American Freak Show, what disorder afflicts a billionaire with a net worth of $9 billion that he is so concerned about people getting free bus rides and decent housing? For more, subscribe to American Freak Show over at the Courier Newsroom website. From the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
locally grown radio, WFHR.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Don't turn on the AC. It costs a fortune to run that old thing. Remember, we only run it when it's like 85 degrees outside, and we turn it off when it's 80 in the house. We can't afford to run it any more than that. Mommy and Daddy had to stick a lot of money in it last year because of a leak.
Wait, you put money in the air conditioner?
Not exactly, but it seems that way to me.
Don't they make better ones now? They make better cars. Isn't that why you bought a new car last year? Because it costs a lot to fix it?
Well, yes. And I suppose they make better ACs now. I wonder how much a new one costs.
Call Tri-City Services for a free quote to replace that air conditioner that feels like it costs a fortune to operate. Tri-City has great financing options to qualified credit on a new AC that'll save you money. You can operate it all summer long without worrying about dipping into your kids' college fund to pay the utility bill. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 26, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Welcoming into the studio, one of our favorite people to talk to, Jen McNally from UW Extension Wood County. She is their groundwater natural resources educator. Jen, how you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, James.
Always good to talk with you. Always learn and have fun when we have conversations. And today we're going to be getting into water issues to be aware of in the summer.
Yeah.
Interesting, especially in Wisconsin here. This tends to be a topic almost, you know, I know I talk with this with the YMCA when we're talking about swimming classes for kids. It seems like this topic affects a lot of different areas.
Absolutely. And I want to caveat this too, James, because I want to say like these are things that people should be aware of when it comes to water quality in the summer. But by no means am I discouraging people from getting out there and enjoying our water resources at all. The last thing I want people to think is there's some crazy lady talking on the radio saying, do not go swimming in our lakes and rivers, because that is not the case.
No. But it is a topic that I do think that sometimes people can shy away from, maybe because of some of that or just the knowledge or, I mean, the information not necessarily being common. And everything.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to touch on this.
Absolutely. And I think the reason I wanted to bring this up today is so that if folks do hear about it or they see a press release come out from the county health department, that they know what it's about and what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like if people have more information, the more they can make informed decisions. So that's why I wanted to talk about some water quality issues.
Yeah. And diving in, the temps are rising. So that has, you know, that kicks things off really.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, and that's when people not only really start to use the water and go swimming and boating and stuff, because we're situated in a perfect spot for that with the river and Lake Wasicha and NEPCO just down the way. But that's also when these water quality issues kind of start to pop up. Mm-hmm. You know, warm temps really fuel growth of anything. And two things that we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about bacteria and we're going to talk about blue-green algae. Mm-hmm. Both of them love warm temperatures. So.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the algae thing is something that I've learned more and more about in the conversations I've had with you guys at Extension. I'm glad we're diving into these.
Good.
Why don't we start with beach monitoring and bacteria?
Sure, absolutely. So beach monitoring starts to happen. We have a fantastic Wood County Health Department that routinely monitors all of the county beaches in the county. And that starts late spring, usually around Memorial Day, and then happens routinely throughout the summer. And they are collecting samples and looking for E. coli bacteria counts at each of the beaches. There's a threshold that is set by the EPA for what's considered safe. And if the water exceeds that threshold, then the health department actually has the authority to close that beach to public use, just to protect the safety and well-being of county residents.
Which is incredibly awesome that we have a system like that.
Yeah.
The idea, I think what... The only thing worse than that to me is the idea of how long it went without these kind of things, you know, in society. And that's not anybody's fault. I'm not pointing any fingers or anything like that. Just the idea that this exists is one of those things that I think that and this is, again, nobody's fault. This is the way life works. We normalize things a lot. We get used to things. And, oh, we got this. Oh, we have that. And well, of course we do. They should be there. They should be doing this job. But it doesn't hopefully get us to appreciate them any less. Right. And these kind of things, I think, are noteworthy. You know, you make plans to go to Lake Nepco or check out Wasicha or something. And then you get a press release or you hear us talking about a press release that you can't go down there because of this or that or something. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The alternative is you stuck through your plans and now you've got E. coli or something.
Right? Like,
these things are going to happen. We're talking about a school, a pool. To that, a pool can be infected.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It can happen. And this is just part of this is the give and take we have with nature.
Exactly. And water is one of those things, too. You know, warm temperatures, water, moist conditions are really kind of key factors to these growing. And by no means, when we say E. coli bacteria, a lot of times people think of animal waste or something, and that absolutely is the case. So E. coli comes from either human or animal fecal contamination, but that doesn't mean that there's. I think a lot of times when we use the word contamination, people think of something like a manure spill or like catastrophic that happens. Mm-hmm. And that really isn't the case. I mean, a lot of times when we get an elevated bacteria count at a beach, it's from something as simple as like heavy rains that are occurring beforehand that are washing runoff into that lake. And so with that comes a lot of extra stuff. Mm-hmm. And that can spike if the conditions are right. It can spike that bacteria growth. Goose poop is one that we see frequently. You know, we have geese populations. Yeah. So it's even naturally occurring. And it's just a combination of all of the right factors coming together. And what we're really trying to do is to, you know, to keep people safe is really the reason that we're out there looking at this stuff.
You know, this is a kind of a positive in some ways. I think our resources have done such a good job on this, and we don't have. I don't know that it's common to know somebody that's been infected with E. coli or something along those lines. They've done such a good job of this. At the same time, I think people hear that and they don't immediately know the why.
Yeah.
Why? What happens if I do get infected or something?
Right.
Maybe we touch on that just a little bit to just remind everybody, hey, this is important. You don't get infected with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's one of the common things, too, is most people won't equate swimming or recreating in water with some of the outcomes of that. Mm-hmm. And there are things like diarrhea and nausea and vomiting, you know, that can come from a whole host of different places. And so a lot of times I don't think people may necessarily connect that.
Yeah. Maybe not everybody. I'm sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to do that. I just I immediately thought of something that I was talking to my mom a little bit about when it comes to this topic. And maybe you haven't dealt with E. coli, but we've all been that kind of sick.
Yeah,
where you're dealing with basically three out of four of these or something.
Exactly.
Like it's not good.
No.
It's not good. Avoid it all you can and listen to our business, our nonprofits out there, our people working so hard to keep our waters clean and work work on that yourselves. Yeah. I think that's something else to keep in mind throughout this conversation, that we can also make an impact on this ourselves and trying to keep our water clean. What is the primary risk of an ingestion? Is it ingestion of the water?
Yeah.
Is that really?
Yeah. So ingestion when it comes to E. coli is the ingestion.
We're listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that, that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a slight chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially this morning. We'll get to around 90 for a high. The heat index in the mid to upper 90s. Tonight we'll drop to the low 70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high of 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy Independence Day. On the next show, enjoy a special best of episode. And while we're off enjoying family, friends, food, fun, and fireworks, don't miss your chance to win Brewers tickets with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. We're going to talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward in just a second here. First, a reminder that next week's guests include Sandra Goldshine from the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. They've put together a storybook with real Americans, including those in Wisconsin, who are going to be harmed by this Trump budget, from mothers who rely on Medicaid to access comprehensive care for their disabled children, to school psychologists who worry about the future of SNAP as they watch the line for free school meals extend outdoors, all painting a picture of unforced suffering and economic anxiety under this Trump budget. Right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I would, I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous. And it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote. And they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but $1 million check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get $1 million check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is. And we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because a U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend, but Senator Tillis was asked about this. And his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor. And he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before, and we all have to adapt. And so what he said is for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here, you don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend. Within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly. And so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc. They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check, but the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. They're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says, what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or... What we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition, but it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you $1 or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick, that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses and text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And we cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No,
cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
It's time for the Summertime Quiz. Today's contestant is from just south of the Cheese Factory, off the trail near the tavern. Here's Stu Sample. Stu, are you ready?
You betcha.
This object can be found throughout central Wisconsin all summer long. It's private. You can use it for one or two things, and it's a great place to think or read. Name this summer object.
It's one of them porta-potties from Crockett Septic.
That's right, Stu. You win. Now, go cop a comfortable squat. For clean, reliable, affordable porta-potty this summer, give Crockett Septic a call, 715-712-3456.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tank septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta-potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
So ingestion, when it comes to E. coli, is the ingestion or drinking of water, and so that's why swimming is probably the most high-risk activity when it comes to E. coli contamination. That accidental ingestion, you know, I don't think a lot of people are out there, you know, purposefully drinking the lake water when they're swimming, but it always happens. And so swimming is the big one. You know, boating, things like that, you're fine. Mm-hmm. That isn't a big deal. And that's why it's primarily focused on the swimming beaches for that one. When we're monitoring those is where we're really looking.
Would you say even without a report or a test being done, we've just had here in central Wisconsin some pretty consistent heavy rain. Is it a good idea to kind of avoid swimming even after a good rain?
Yeah, especially like where we had an all-day rain yesterday that just was steady. Yeah, we always say, you know, waiting 24, 48 hours after a heavy rain is always a great idea just to be on the safe side of things. That gives it typically enough time, especially with our systems. You know, the Wisconsin River, NEPCO and Wasija are both impoundments of the river, and so they still have a fair amount of flow going through them. In those situations where that's flowing, 24, 48 hours is going to give it a pretty good chance to move through that system. So that's a great rule of thumb generally.
And kind of piggybacking on that, Jen, it does feel like when we do get these reports from our Parks and Rec department or anything, and a shout out to them when they let us know about these things.
They're great.
It doesn't feel like it's much longer before they're opened up again.
No.
Usually a couple of days or something like that. Is that about the average time?
Typically, you know, a week, maybe two at the most. You know, when things are, they'll generally go through kind of like that growth period where, you know, that count gets really high, and then it'll tend to taper off after that. So what generally happens is if there's a beach that tests high, they're going back out there routinely testing, you know, every so often to see when that's going to happen. And as soon as it comes down into those safe levels again, they're removing that post. And so in that case, it's a great idea if you have concerns, check the Wood County Health Department page, because they usually are posting if there's a beach that has tested high. They're sending out a press release. The County Parks Department is always a great one to check in with, too, because they have that information. And so, just paying attention to those information sources is a great way to know what's going on.
We are speaking with our friend Jen McNally, groundwater and natural resource educator with UW Extension Wood County. And Jen, let's dive into blue-green algae now a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cover on this one. It really is, and no pun intended there. But this blooms another issue in our area.
Yeah. So this is another one. This one maybe gets a little bit more press, I think, probably because it's more visual for people. They can see it a lot of times. And so the Wisconsin River system also has experienced this a little bit farther down, like Peatonwell and Castle Rock have had issues with this, and pretty significant issues. So fun fact, blue-green algae, even though it's called an algae, not really an algae. It is a bacteria, actually.
I remember that now. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah, that's just one of those wild things.
Right? I don't know how it ever got its name, but it's actually a cyanobacteria. Very common in Wisconsin, so not surprising that we have it. Yeah. And there are lots of different species of blue-green algae. It generally, like, when we say blue-green algae, people think of, like, a toxic algae. Mm-hmm. And that's true, but there are lots and lots of different types, and not all of them are toxic. Mm-hmm. Some are, some aren't. Some are only toxic during certain time periods.
Just to make it difficult.
Right, exactly. There is no easy catch-all. Right. For that one at all, but
when it comes to the conditions for this, it doesn't take a lot for it to be right either, for it to grow.
No. So a lot of times, one thing we do have working in our favor is, again, because we live on more of those river systems; those are more common here. They generally like more stagnant water. So you know, NEPCO and Wasilla are a little less flow, so those might be potential areas. Inland lakes are prime candidates for this to happen, but we have seen them on the Wisconsin River as well. So by no means is that exclusive. So either stagnant or slow moving water, warm temperatures, that's a big one. And then they need food in order to grow. So if we have extra nutrients in the water, or like phosphorus and nitrogen, that's going to provide their food base for them, and that can be the catalyst. So again, things like a big runoff event can really fuel that. So warm weather, runoff event, you know, it's the mix of all the right combinations that can do that.
And I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit, Jen. I'm sorry. We were getting into the colors a little bit.
And I
thought that was a really good part, especially one of the things I saw in your notes, they're reddish purple or brown. I've never seen that color.
Yeah,
algae.
No,
I would be calling you up right away. I'd be like, Jen, what am I seeing?
Exactly. So, you know, a lot of times when we say blue-green algae, the first picture that pops to mind is kind of like a pea soup, or it will look like if there's a bloom. So what a bloom is when that bacterial growth like happens really quickly and they replicate, you'll get a big bloom happening or a big growth period. And so when a bloom happens, a lot of times what that'll look like is like pea soup. Sometimes people will say that it looks like paint being thrown on top of the water. Mm-hmm. Typically kind of like yellow, green, bluish green, lime green mm-hmm. colors are pretty typical. But yeah, they come in a wide variety of colors. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the rounds, reds, browns, purples. Mm-hmm. I mean, they show up in all sorts of funky things. So yeah.
And kind of coming back to the point about the environmental conditions and everything, they don't necessarily have to be perfect for the algae to show up.
No.
It can form at different times of the year in particular.
Yeah, most of the time we see it happening in the summer because that's when we have the warmer months. But I mean, these things have happened rarely, but they have happened even under ice conditions as well. So it's just a matter of if they have what they need in order to grow. It can happen anytime. People are a little bit more heightened and paying a little bit more attention when that weather starts to get warm and that component starts mm-hmm. to get happen. But it's good to be on the lookout anytime.
And you mentioned that there are so many different species and not all of them are necessarily toxic.
No, no. So what happens is certain species will grow and then there's actually toxins that form inside the cells.
You were listening to the Rapids Report sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Well, Congress was divided for months, but the president's July 4th deadline was met when the House passed his major policy bill. CBS's Willie James Inman is in Washington.
The president announced that he will sign the legislation later today into law, inviting all members of Congress to be there. The event will be followed by a 4th of July celebration, including a military jet flyover, complete with a B-2 stealth bomber, the same jet used during the strike against Iranian nuclear enrichment sites last month.
The new legislation includes money for defense and deportations while making cuts to safety net programs like food stamps and Medicaid. Correspondent Robert Costa tells us
there is concern that ahead of the 2026 midterm elections, Republicans are going to feel a burden politically because of all of these cuts across the board, and especially